Hello, it's John back again with a continuation of this cup of tea adventure that we had back in 2005. I told you that we travelled to Canada, courtesy of Canadian Affair, and we landed in Vancouver and sampled the delights of the Sandman Hotel and Moxie's restaurant and got our flight to Dawson Creek. And as I think I said before, they found us the wrong car. And people had said, oh, you don't need an off-road vehicle. Everything's very civilised out there. You'll be fine, tarmac roads and everything. But boy, were we glad we had a Jeep instead. Anyway, we sorted that out and we went to the farmer's market in the morning and got our provisions and drove down to Tumbler Ridge. Now, it seemed to take a long time because we'd never been before. The more we did the journey, the less it seemed to take, and we were looking for wildlife on the way, of course, or being very excited, and we didn't see much of it. We saw the odd mule deer, but there were lots of big black skid marks on the road that sort of suggested there'd been a lot of roadkill, so you had to keep your eyes open. Anyway, we found the house eventually in Tumbler Ridge, and it was a lovely house. It was central heating. I'm glad of that because it was September now. And we had three bedrooms. There was mosquito nets on the door, which were very, very useful as well. And so we settled in. We found out, you know, what there was there. We read the literature and so on. So we found that, in fact, yes, it was a beautiful town, was Tumbler Ridge, with everything you could imagine, with an ATM and a supermarket and so on. And the two nearest towns were Dawson Creek and a place called Chetwynd, which was down self-styled chainsaw capital of British Columbia. They were about 90 kilometres away. So, hang on a minute, what's that on the road in front of 100 yards down the road? What is that? A big black dog or something? No, binoculars out. It was a wolf, a timber wolf. And we saw this thing trotting down the road. It stopped and looked round and had a look at us and thought, well, you're nothing to worry about. And went into the wood and just disappeared. But that was the first exciting thing we saw, this wonderful black timber. We didn't see any more, unfortunately. But we're very, very pleased to see that. It really set us up for looking out for different sorts of wildlife. Now, we found when we'd been there a couple of days that there was one particular road out towards the mine where you can pretty well guarantee to find bears, black bears. So we went along that road quite often. And we saw all kinds of conditions of black bears. And one, Elizabeth seemed to connect with this particular. So we looked out of the window of the car and there's this rather elderly looking black bear just sat down. Oh! As if it was quite arthritic, and Elizabeth sympathised with that, so she felt as if she connected. But the first bear sighting that we had was usual, quite by chance. We were driving down this road and we saw somebody parked at the side, and usually when there's somebody parked at the side of the road, they're watching something. And so we pulled in a little distance behind these people, and sure enough, they were looking at a black bear. So we were quite excited about this, and we had a look at it for several minutes, and then blow me if out of the corner of our eyes we saw a grizzly bear, and it walked across the road in between our two cars and disappeared into the wood. Well, we couldn't believe this, and later on when we told Richard about this, Richard whose house it was, he couldn't believe this. He was very jealous because he'd never seen a grizzly bear when he'd been out there all those times. Another sighting that we had of black bears was out towards the mine again. And in a meadow near the mine workings, there was a mother and a couple of cubs feeding and rolling about in the grass. And we could see these little black feet waving about in the air. This cub was playing about. But Mum kept an eye on us all the time. On another occasion, Hawkeye Elizabeth spotted a pile of branches and mud in a pond at the side of the road. So we stopped and had a look at it, and there was evidence of the beavers there. There were chewed branches and little muddy footprints and so on. And instead of this lodge being in the middle of the pond in the sort of classical fashion, it was at the side of the road. Anyway, I thought, oh, this is interesting. No sign of beavers, of course. It was the middle of the day. But we thought, oh, well, we'll go back and have a look at this later on. So we went later on that evening, and the first thing we noticed when we were walking down towards the dam was an almighty splash, as if somebody had thrown a boulder into the water. And of course it was the beaver slapping its tail. So we went down, and because it was our first time, we were a bit naive and we didn't see anything at all. But we thought, no, they're there, we've heard them, there's evidence of them, the trees have been chewed and so on, we'll come back. And sure enough, over the next few days, we went back several times and were rewarded with the sights of the beavers swimming about and towing branches around and chewing away. And they'd made a start on a tree that was, 10 inches, 12 inches in diameter, quite a big thing. And it chewed nearly all the way through, but unfortunately we didn't see it actually fall. But anyway, there they were. They got quite used to us after a while, and they didn't bother. They just carried on beavering away. So that was pretty good. And we also, when we were there one day, there was a man drove up with a big 4x4 and a water trailer on a tanker on the back. And he told us that this beaver dam was his best supply of what he called free water, open water, to fill his tanker up. And what he was doing was drilling for gas, and he needed the water to lubricate his drill. And he said that they knew where to drill around there, because all they had to do was follow the tipsy grizzlies. What? He said, well, the grizzly bears know where the gas is coming out through little vents in the ground, and they're going to have a sniff at this and they get quite tipsy. So if they saw any grizzly bears lurching around, they knew there must be gas in that area, and that's where they were doing the drilling. So we thought that was quite amusing. Now, one time when we were going up to look at the beavers, again we stopped in our tracks. Oh, what's that? And there's this big black animal, chestnut black, and it was a bull moose, a young bull moose. And it stopped in the middle of the road, again about 100 yards. We actually managed to get a photograph of this one. And there he was, he turned around for us to show us his best side. And then he walked into the forest at the side of the road. And although we followed him almost immediately, we could see no sign and hear no sound that he was there. He just vanished into the wilderness. That was quite something to see something like that. We saw some other moose as well, but he was really quite magnificent. Now, Tumbler Ridge, as I think I said before, gets its name from the unstable rock conditions around there. And this was demonstrated by the road to Chetwynd, which, as I said, was about 90 kilometres away. And a great long section of this road had just simply slid down the hillside, about a couple of miles of it. It just slid 200 feet or so down the hillside. And so they were operating a single-file traffic system. Now, the two people at either end of this section contacted each other by radio phone. And it was pretty well students that were manning these things, but were very impressed, because at one end of the traffic lights was a young girl student, and not only was she manning the traffic lights, but she was doing the barbecue as well, multitasking like these ladies can do. So that was quite, and she was absolutely full of life. She was smiling and jigging about and laughing and so on. I don't think she'd been sniffing gas. She was just full of life. And perhaps the other major sighting that we saw was on a place called Bull Moose Mountain. And this had been a coal mine as well, but they'd reintroduced a flock of mountain goats into that area, and 20 odd of these things altogether, apparently. And we saw about half that number. We'd spotted them at a distance with a naked eye, and then we parked up, got as near as we could on the road, and we got the binoculars out, and sure enough they were these lovely white mountain goats browsing on the mountain tops. So there you are, you see, we've had quite an adventurous holiday there, and to be careful with cups of tea, you just never know where they might lead, do you? Anyway, enjoy yourselves and keep safe, and I'll be back perhaps later with some more adventurous holidays that we've been lucky enough to have. Bye.